Thank you, everybody, for joining us today, for being here with me. I hope this next hour is going to be very helpful and educational for you. I'm here to answer whatever questions you may have. So please, please put your questions in the chat box so that I can see them and get to them while I'm presenting. I want to thank Deborah and Tanya with Red Oak ISD for sharing us with your audience. Like I said, I hope this will be very helpful. We also have a podcast. If you happen to be listening to this talk on a podcast and you want a copy of our slides, you can email us contact@cpgcares.net. So I just want to let everybody know, and I will repeat this probably several times because people always ask, we are recording this webinar and we will send it out to you afterwards, and we will send you the slides as well. So everybody will have a copy of the slides and a link to the recording. So no worries there, even if you have to step out or whatever. So again, I'm Michelle Morris from Consolidated Planning Group. We are a financial planning firm that focuses on families with special needs loved ones. We have over 30 years of experience in financial planning, securities, insurance, all of that kind of stuff. And what happened is that the owner of our company, Allison Skaberg, and her husband, Jeff, they have two kids with special needs. And when she was going through this kind of transition period, her kids were teenagers and getting ready to become adults, she saw how difficult it was and how complicated and how much there was to do. And she said, you know, I want my company to help families who are going through this, to make it easier on you so that you don't have to try and struggle through on your own. So we are members of the Special Needs Planning Academy, and we are nationally certified as Social Security advisors, in addition to our over 30 years of experience in financial services. We're located just outside of Houston, in the Sugar Land area, but because of, you know, Zoom and email and uploading documents, we work all across Texas and all across the United States. So if you're watching from another area of Texas or even another state, don't worry. Some of the stuff that I'm going to talk about is specific to Texas. Some of it will apply to you. And if you have specific questions, like I said, just go ahead and put those in the chat box, and I'll be happy to get to as many of your questions as I can. So when we're talking about special needs planning, what does that even mean? Well, we help families with protection plans. You know, we want to protect you in case you live too long, or maybe you die too early, or if you become disabled along the way and you are unable to work and help support your family, then we can help protect your family against things like that through life insurance and disability insurance and whatnot. We help family with lifetime care plans. You know, you want to consider, how much is it going to cost to take care of your child once you're no longer here to care for them yourself? There are a lot of great, great residential communities. I'm sorry, I'm just going to delete this spam. There we go. There are a lot of great residential communities, but they can be quite expensive. So how are you going to save enough to pay for that? And what should you plan on saving? So we can help you with those numbers. We also help families with transition planning, like we're doing today. We're going to go over a lot of topics, a little bit high level. So if there's something that you want me to get deeper into, just let me know. We help families with ABLE accounts, and of course, advocating and educating so that you don't have to go through so much trouble like Allison did. You know, fewer than a tenth of a percent of all the financial advisors in the United States focus on special needs planning. So there are over 263,000 financial advisors in the US, but fewer than 200 of them, not 200,000, just 200, focus on special needs planning. I spoke with a potential client earlier this week who told me, oh, we already have a financial advisor, and she set up a 529 college savings account for my child. Well, you're going to see later on in today's webinar that it might have been better for their financial advisor to set up a different kind of account that they hadn't even heard of. So it really does benefit you to work with somebody who knows the ins and outs and the specialized nuances of working with special needs children. So getting started with planning for the future. There are a lot of things that you can do to get yourself off on the right foot. And we're going to go through a lot of these. So the first is to develop a letter of intent. I'm gonna get to what that is and what it entails, but this is definitely something you need, a letter of intent. You should work with a special needs planner like Consolidated Planning Group to help you think about your plans for the future and how that's all going to work. You also need to have an attorney on your team who hopefully focuses on special needs topics. It would be much better to just do it right from the beginning rather than, you know, oh, my next door neighbor is a divorce attorney and she's going to do it for me. Well, if she messes it up, you might end up spending more money later to set things right. So our advice is just from the beginning, get some really good experts on your team. Gather up planning documents, what you already have in place in terms of your retirement accounts, your legal matters, savings accounts, life insurance, long-term care insurance, all of that kind of stuff. Because when you see what you have, it's much easier to help you understand where you need to be. It's kind of like one of the things that we offer is that we want to calm the chaos. So maybe your financial life is just kind of haphazard. Oh, yes, we need that. Yes, we need that. I don't know if we need that. And it kind of gets to be like your junk drawer in your kitchen. I have one of these where I just throw stuff in there and I've kind of lost track of what's in there at all. And if those things are working well for me, if I should just get rid of them, we can do that with your finances, where we kind of shake it all out, look at what you have, see what's doing well for you and what no longer serves its purpose, tweak things that you have to make them work better for you and set you off on the right track. We also want you to think about your vision of how you want the future to look for yourself and for your child. You know, all children are different. There is no one right path. There is no need to compare to other people, especially, you know, on Facebook. Everybody just posts the highlight reel. And that's not always very helpful. So don't compare yourself or your child to others. All right, starting off with a letter of intent. What this is a document that you put together. Think about it this way. If something happened to you, you are the one who probably knows the most about your family and your child. If somebody had to step in and take your place, this document will tell them what they need to know, kind of a guidebook for taking care of your family and especially your loved ones with special needs. It's not a legal document. You do not have to go through an attorney to do it. You don't even have to have it notarized, nothing like that. But if you have a binder for your loved one, I know that a lot of people have a binder with like their legal documents, medical history, things like that. This would be another great thing to put in there. So, you know, before I was in the financial industry, I was an English teacher. So the English teacher side of me says, go ahead and open a Word document on your computer. Start with the facts about your child. The family information, their medical history, their diagnoses, what benefits they're already receiving, what medications they're on, things like that. And then as you're working on the facts, you're going to start thinking about the extra stuff, like their personality, their habits, what they like to do for fun and fitness, what your family's spiritual values are, all of that kind of stuff you can put into the letter of intent. And like I said, this just helps whoever steps in to understand your child's abilities, strengths, their routines, their interests, likes and dislikes, what's going to, you know, totally derail their day. Or if their day is, you know, if the wheels are off the bus, what can you do? Is there any quick and easy remedy for that? What is your child's nighttime routine? All of those sort of things. Then once you've worked on it for a while, you're going to print that version, but keep it on your laptop. And then next time, maybe a couple years later, as your family grows and evolves and your child grows and evolves, you go back in, update your letter of intent, print the newest version, put it in your binder. Just keep doing that over the years. It'll be way less of a hassle that way. Okay. And don't beat yourself up. This is not something that you're going to be able to write overnight. Give yourself time and let your other family members help as well, because maybe even siblings might know something about your child that they think should be included. And everybody loves to be involved. So when you're thinking about funding your child's care, you know, once you're gone or even into your retirement years, a lot of people, we know it keeps you up at night thinking about how am I going to pay for all this? So we've got several slides about different ways that you're going to fund the future. First of all, it's very important that you make sure that you preserve your child's eligibility for state and federally funded programs like SSI, SSDI, Medicare, Medicaid, even the state programs like waiver programs. You want to make sure that you don't jeopardize those benefits by giving your kid too much money or, you know, leaving them as a beneficiary on your life insurance, for example. It's very important to have a special needs trust where your life insurance can go to pay for their future. Your assets, your investments, everybody, everything, everybody can go in the special needs trust. Sorry about that. Also, you can have an AML account for your child, which we're going to get into the details of, but the special needs trust and the AML account are two places where you can have money for your child where it will not affect their SSI benefits. So let's talk about SSI. When your child is under the age of 18, they look at the parents' income and assets, and there are very strict limits on your income and assets. So most of the time, children under the age of 18 don't qualify for SSI benefits. However, when your child turns 18, as long as they don't have more than $2,000 in a bank account, and as long as they're not working, making more than the substantial gainful amount, then they won't have, and as long as they qualify as disabled under the eyes of Social Security, those are the three things. Under $2,000, if they're working, they're not making more than the substantial gainful amount, and that they have a disability under the eyes of Social Security. Then they should be able to get SSI benefits. This link, when you receive these slides later on today, will be clickable. Please, if anybody has an issue with it, let me know. But you can start your application online. If you do it like the day or the day after your child turns 18, that would be perfect. And even if they don't get to you for several months, they will backdate your pay to the date that you began this application. So it's very helpful because sometimes it can take them months or a year, in some cases I've heard, to get your SSI benefits all figured out. When you apply, think about you're going to have to prove that your child has a disability. So you need your medical history or your child's medical history. Who is their most recent physician? Their name, address, phone numbers, that kind of stuff. A history of your child's diagnoses, what medications they're currently on and what they're for. If your child is working, then they're going to want to know the employer and see pay stubs. And if your child has a bank account, they're going to want to see about 3 months of bank statements. Like I said, they're very strict about those limits, and you want to make sure that your child does not have over $2,000. You might even, and this might be a little bit extra, but you might want to call your child's primary care physician and get a copy of the medical record for yourself so you can see what's in there. And you can see if it very clearly states the disabilities that your child has so that they can get their benefits. Now, a couple of things that you need to know. One thing that they don't tell you when you fill out your application for SSI, which your child should get when they turn 18, they're also filling out an application for you for SSDI. Now, this is a different program, although the acronyms sound very familiar, very similar. SSDI is what your child will get later in life when you're in your late 60s and you turn on your Social Security benefits. Sometimes that's called DAC, Disabled Childhood benefits, or DCB. I always think it's CDB, CBD, but that's something different. Anyway, they have all these different acronyms that all mean the same thing. And that's the SSDI. So your child is not going to qualify for SSDI when they turn 18. So you might get a letter right away that says, okay, you're denied benefits. And people panic because they think, how can they turn me down for SSI? But then you look at the fine print on the top of the page and it says, this letter is about SSDI. So don't panic if you immediately get denied. The SSI letter will come later. So the decision can take, 4 to 6 months to get the decision. But like I said, they will back pay you if you start the application process. After your local office gets your file all together, your application, they send it off to the Disability Determination Services in Austin. That's DDS in Austin. And they're the ones who are going to order actual medical records and find the evidence for the disability and determine for sure that your child is disabled. You can actually call the DDS. The phone number is here, and you can see, did you guys receive the file? Do you have everything you need? Did my doctor send everything? Do I need to make any other phone calls to make sure people are following through? So you can definitely call them and follow up with them, and they do actually answer their phones. So that's quite nice. When your child is older, like I said, and they switch over to SSDI, like I said, that can be called DAC benefits for disabled adult child, CDB for childhood disability benefits. They can call it SSDI. But again, this is when the parent applies to receive their own Social Security benefit because they've either retired or become disabled. The child over the age of 18 is eligible to receive half of the parent's benefit. And then, after they've been receiving that benefit for 2 years, they're going to become eligible for Medicare. So, hopefully, they had SSI and Medicaid starting at age 18. Then they get SSI and Medicaid for years and years and years. Then maybe Dad turns on his Social Security benefits, and then your child can switch from SSI to SSDI. At that point, after your child has been on SSDI for 2 years, they will get Medicare, and that means they'll have both Medicaid and Medicare. They'll be dual eligible. Then later on, hopefully many years after you turn on your Social Security, you're going to pass away. I know, shocker, I don't mean to spoil the news for you, but when you pass away, your child will then go from 50% of your benefit to 75%. And this does not take anything away from the amount of money that you get for your Social Security. So, for example, if you turn on your Social Security benefit and you're supposed to get $4,000 a month, you will still get $4,000 a month, and your special needs child will get $2,000 a month until you pass away, at which time their amount will go up to $3,000 a month for the rest of their lives. There are family maximums if you have more than one special needs child, or if you have a spouse who isn't working, they're taking care of your child in the home, they get a benefit. There are family maximums that you might run up against, but we can tell you about that. Is this from one parent or both? It's one parent. First, we will go through this with you. If anybody wants a Social Security maximization analysis, that's one of the things we do. We tell you when to turn it on, how to do it, how to get the most from the government. But generally, whichever parent turns on their benefit first, your child will start drawing from that parent. And then the next parent turns it on. If their amount is more, you can switch it over, but it's just one parent at a time. Just get the most you possibly can. If there's a surviving parent, will it affect the other parent's benefits? They're separate benefits. So no, it doesn't affect it unless you hit that family maximum. Okay. So we want you to be able to get these benefits. It's super important that your child gets these benefits. I mean, right now, SSI that they can turn on when they turn 18 is $914 a month. That's going to be so helpful for so many families. You don't want to do anything that's going to cause those benefits to go away. So you want to make sure that your assets and your child's assets are in the right buckets. Make sure that your child is not set up as a beneficiary on any life insurance or investments or bank accounts where if you pass away, the money is going to be left to your child, because then all of a sudden they have way more than $2,000. So how do you leave money to your child? You need to have the beneficiary set up as this money is going to go to the special needs trust for the benefit of my child. And make sure that you talk with other family members as well. Maybe your parents, or maybe there's an aunt or uncle who wants to leave money for your child. They can't leave money straight to your child, or else it will hurt their benefits. So, you know, maybe the conversation goes something like, we don't expect, or we don't assume that you're going to leave money for us or for our child, but if you do, we heard this webinar and we heard about this, and you have to just make sure that you're very careful not to leave it directly to them. If you want to leave money for our child, we'll give you the information for their special needs trust, and you leave it to that. Okay. If they mess up, it's not the end of the world. You can call our office and we can help you figure out what you need to do. It happens and it'll be okay. So, yeah, make sure you have a special needs trust, so that you can put money there for your child's future care. You can do that by having it kind of built into your will, where it says, when we pass away, a special needs trust is going to be formed and our life insurance will be put into that special needs trust to fund it. Maybe you do something like that. But like I said, if grandma and grandpa want to leave money right now, then you have to form the special needs trust now, fund it with the money from whoever, and do it that way. So there's two options there. Your current life insurance, your assets, all of that can go into the special needs trust. And then you can also have an ABLE account. So I see a question: what is the maximum special needs per family? I'm not sure the maximum amount that you can get for Social Security, maybe. Why don't you clarify your question, Teresa, and I'll get to it. So, again, when you're thinking about transition planning, we've talked about the special needs trust, but what you need to know is that you need the expert, the legal expert on your team to help you get a special needs trust. They have to help set that up for you. Also, guardianship. The guardianship process, this is a legal proceeding. You have to go to court, you have to meet with a judge, you get served papers. But the guardianship process can start when you're within 6 months of your child turning 18. It's so important that you work with a qualified attorney to help you out with those things. So your amount, to go back to Teresa's question, what is the maximum Social Security amount for the family? It depends on your work history, your work record. If you do go through us to get a Social Security maximization, we would be able to investigate that for you by looking at your work history through the Social Security Administration and this proprietary software that we have that can help you figure out when to turn on your Social Security. Okay, so let's get into talking about ABLE accounts. You might have heard of a 529 college savings plan where you put money in and then it grows tax-free and you can use that money to pay for college. That is a great option if you know that your child is going to go to college. Now, if your child has a disability and you're not sure if they're going to go to college and they have a disability that began before their age of 26, then you can open an ABLE account. This is a 529A for ABLE. The beneficiary owns the account, and that's okay. It does not count against them. You put money in. First thing they do is take out a maintenance fee, of course, but then they do invest the money. That money grows in the account tax-free, and then you can use that money really pretty much on anything for your child. ABLE stands for Achieving a Better Life Experience. So if you use the money to help your child achieve a better life experience, then it's pretty much okay. Yes, Kia, we work in all states, so just hit me up afterwards and we'll talk. You can use your ABLE account to pay for, like I said, pretty much anything. It can be financial management services, transportation, education, training, assistive care, technology, personal support services, legal expenses, food, rent, clothing, tutoring, what else? Computers, a vacation for maybe your child and a caregiver, not for the whole family, but like the child and caregiver at least. But you can use your ABLE account to pay for food and shelter without causing a reduction to your SSI. So that's very important. You can put in $17,000 for 2023. The amount changes by year, whatever the gift tax exclusion is for the year, when you're filing your taxes, that's the amount you can put into the ABLE account. So this year for 2023, you can put in $17,000. If your child has a job, they can put in additional money, an additional $13,590, as long as they don't have a retirement plan at work. Now, it's really important that you understand that you do not have more than $100,000 in your ABLE account. At that point, if you hit $100,000 in your ABLE account, Social Security will see that and they'll say, oh, you don't need our help anymore. So we're going to go ahead and cut off your benefits. So you just want to make sure that your ABLE account does not go over $100,000. It's not the kind of account where you put all your money and let it sit there for 30 years and grow into millions of dollars. This is kind of a save with the intent to spend. And another reason why you actually want to spend the money in your ABLE account is because when your child passes away, Medicaid can come back and reimburse themselves with some of the money from your child's ABLE account. They do a lot. Hopefully they've provided a lot of services for your child, and this is their chance to come back and claim some of that money back. You can roll over this account as long as you have another eligible child who can be a beneficiary. You can change your investments in the account twice a year. And again, there's the income that grows in the account is not taxable. There's no penalties or anything like that. So I want to thank Mark for putting that the family maximum is something like 150 to 188% of the main earner's primary benefit amount. He says, I don't know how to get the highest amount. I know someone who does. Can money from the ABLE account be used towards home repairs where the child lives? I don't see why it wouldn't, but I'm not sure why you would want to put it into the ABLE account instead of just making the repairs and using that money now, unless you do need to save up for that, but you could save that in your own account. So, and then there was a question earlier, can we help in Tennessee? Yes, we can help in every state. Okay, so let's switch from talking about the ABLE account to the Special Needs Trust. And there are a lot of things that the Special Needs Trust can pay for. So that's the good news. But this isn't really nearly as important as knowing what you should not use the Special Needs Trust to pay for. That's this slide. You can, but if you use your Special Needs Trust to pay for rent or mortgage payments, utilities, homeowners insurance, condo charges, food, or cash, then the Social Security Administration is going to say that you don't need so much money from them, and they're going to reduce your benefit by a third. So don't do that. So here's what you need to remember. The ABLE account has a limited amount that you can put in, but you can use it for almost anything. The Special Needs Trust, on the other hand, you can put an unlimited amount of money in there, but there is a restriction on what you can use that money for. So these two vehicles work very well together. You can move money back and forth between them. Mainly, it's going to go from the trust into the ABLE to be spent on your child. So that's how you can get around all of it and play the game. So again, another thing that keeps you up late at night, I'm sure, is who is going to take care of my child when I can't do it anymore? And so it's really important that you think ahead of time about these kinds of questions, because first of all, it's going to help you sleep better. It's also going to give you a chance to let your child get to know the people in their lives who might end up being their caregivers, and helping you to be able to save and plan for the future. Making smaller changes can have a huge impact over the lifetime if you start planning early. Think about after high school, what's going to happen. You know, there are programs where your child can stay in high school for several years beyond age 18. But after that, there are other great vocational options. There are great educational options. Residential options. There are some wonderful communities out there where your child can live and work and make friends and just have a great time. And people tend to love these communities. It's not like it used to be anymore. But, you know, there could be waiting lists too. So we would hate for you to find the perfect community for your loved one and then find out that there is a long wait list, so you can't use it right now anyway. So start planning early, start looking into things, and also be really careful about just saying, oh, well, you know, Jake's older sister, Sarah, is just going to watch him when I can't do it anymore. Sarah will take care of him. Well, maybe Sarah has her own stuff going on, or will have her own stuff going on at that time, her own job and family and hopes and dreams, and who knows, maybe even her own children. So she might really find this as more of an obligation rather than a loving relationship. And you know, little Jake, Sarah's been his sister this whole time. And now all of a sudden she's trying to tell him what to do and act like mom. Well, you're not my mom. Jake might feel a little bit of resentment if you have this set up. So just be really careful if that's what you're considering for your future. And take a lot of time to prepare your family members for that, if that's your plan. All right, let's talk about the waiver programs here in Texas. Again, all states have waiver programs. Some states, there are no wait lists at all. Here in Texas, unfortunately, the wait list is very, very long. And I'm talking about like 20 years long. So hopefully your children, if you're here today, are already on the waiting lists for these waivers. But if not, you need to get on these right away. And this is how you do it. For MDCP, which is medically dependent children, class applies to pretty much everybody, and DBMD, that's deaf, blind, and multiple disabilities. For those three waiver programs, that means pretty much everybody in here should be on their list. You need to call that 1-877 number, 877-438-5658. For the other waiver programs like HCS, Texas Home Living, Community First Choice, you're going to contact your local intellectual and developmental disability authority, or LIDA. Some people say LIDA, some people say LIDA. We're not really sure, but these are separated by counties. So you can look up your county and find out who your local authority is with this link, which will be clickable. And you're going to want to make sure you're signed up for all of their waivers. And then finally, if your child is over the age of 21, they might qualify for Star Plus. And the phone number is there for Star Plus. That's for over age 21. There is some new information about the waiver programs. That's really cool, is that there is finally a way on the website where you can click on manage your benefits, and you can look and see where you are in line. Finally, I mean, talk about being a little bit late to the game, but they finally have that on the website. So you can look up and see where you are in line. So here's a list, a very helpful list of all the different waiver programs so that you can see which ones your child might qualify for. And what you need to know is that when you call and put your name on the list to wait for these waiver programs, you don't have to prove that you qualify. You only prove that you qualify when your name comes up on the list in years and years and years. So for example, with deaf, blind, and multiple disabilities, you can have a condition that will lead to deafness and blindness. Maybe your child is not deaf or blind yet, but their condition is deteriorating and you know that they're eventually going to be. You can put your name on that list. And when your name comes up, if you don't qualify yet, you can tell them, you know, not yet, but keep me on the list and we'll see. And again, some of these apply to a wide range of people, like class. There are over 200 related conditions that they have on their list of people who qualify for this. So the waiting list, of course, is going to be very long. Okay, I don't see any questions right now, so I'm going to keep on going. So there's a lot of things that you need to keep on your radar related to special needs planning. And, you know, we do webinars 2-3 sometimes more than that times a week. We always schedule our webinars for like the noon hour, so you can enjoy your lunch while you listen to us. We also record them all and put them on our YouTube channel so that you can watch there later if you'd like, or you can listen on our podcast. We talk about things like how to pay for college, how to find a great college, how to make friends, what a special needs care plan looks like, educational options, residential options. We've had some great panel discussions about different residential options or summer camps or recreational options available. So definitely check out our webinars. We can help people with that future care cost estimate, not just what does full-time care cost right now in your area, but what is it going to cost after 20 years when you're ready for it, and after your child lives there in a residential community for 20 years. The numbers can get quite big and it looks scary, but we're talking about, you know, tomorrow's dollars, and we can give you some ways to help save up your money to be able to leave it to your child's trust to pay for that future cost of care. We help people understand and apply for their SSI and SSDI benefits. We help set up ABLE accounts, guide you on your designations for the beneficiaries. We can help you with how to fund your special needs trust, even though you do need an attorney to set it up for you. And one thing that you need to know about the trust, if child support is a thing in your life, and, you know, many times if you have a child who has a disability, you can get child support beyond the age of 18, even indefinitely, depending on your situation and what state you're in. But if you have child support beyond age 18, that money is going to need to go into what's called a first party special needs trust, or else it will be counted as income for your child and it will cut down on their benefits. So that money, that child support, needs to be redirected to a first party special needs trust. Okay. Again, you can contact us for more information on that. Start touring those communities for later in life, because those waiting lists can be long. Guardianship, alternatives to guardianship, things like a power of attorney and a healthcare power of attorney. There's even something called supported decision-making agreements. All of those things are options for you. The state really doesn't want kids to be under guardianship, but if they need it. So I think the rule is that you go with the least restrictive option. But even your kids who don't have any intellectual or developmental differences, you might consider getting a power of attorney on, especially, you know, when they go away to college. They're adults now, and they're living in a different state or city or country, who knows. You want to have a power of attorney for even those adult children, because if something happens to them, there's nobody who says, oh, we have to call his mommy and daddy. And the doctors and the hospitals and the schools don't have to talk to you. So get that power of attorney for all your kids. Just my little bit of advice there. Again, we do these webinars 2-3 times a week. They're all on our website under the events tab. That's where this link will take you. You can register for the webinars on our website, And then that way, even if you miss them, we're going to send you the recording and the slides for all of our webinars. This is our team. Allison and Jeff are the owners of the company. We are really, this is the whole company. So when you call us, we know who you are. We know what your story is. You're not calling some 3,000 person company where nobody knows who you are. It's two husband and wife pairs, Allison and Jeff, and then my glamour shot picture, and that's my husband, Andy. And then we have a fantastic group of operations staff that helps with paperwork and phone calls and scheduling appointments and all of that. And speaking of scheduling appointments, what we really want you to do is schedule a free consultation with us. So someone from our team will be calling or emailing you to reach out and see if you would like to schedule your consultation. Please be kind. We are just doing our jobs. It's easy for you to just say no, thank you, and we won't bother you anymore. But our free consultation, it typically takes between 30 to 45 minutes. The first order of business on this call is for you to ask us any questions you have related to special needs planning. And we try to answer those questions just to help you, you know, with whatever it is you're currently dealing with. Then we will learn more about you and your family and start to tell you about what we do and what we charge and the different planning packages we offer and things like that. So it's over Zoom, like I said, about 30 to 45 minutes, completely free and completely confidential. So you can use the QR code there to schedule right on our calendar if that works for you, or if you would rather call or email us, we would love to answer your questions. You can also, these little icons down here are links that will be clickable to you. There's our YouTube channel, our Instagram, our podcast, and the Facebook page where we put all of our webinars, tons of free information, all of that out there. So we are ending a little bit early. It looks like I get to give you about 12 minutes by the time I'm done rambling, back to enjoy the rest of your lunch. If you have any questions and, you know, maybe you would rather keep your question to yourself, keep it out of the chat box, please feel free. Just reach out to us. We'll schedule your consultation. We don't bite, I promise. And we'll get those questions answered for you. All right. Okay, well, I don't see anything else in the chat box coming through. So again, I really, really appreciate you all for being here with me today. And to Red Oak ISD for sharing our information. Oh, here's one question. To set up a special needs trust, do you need an EIN from the IRS? When you set up your special needs trust, yes, you are going to have to get an ID number from the IRS so that other people can put money into the account, and that's so you can put money into the account. But yes, your special needs trust will have its own EIN ID number for it through the IRS, which is a painless process, really. Okay. All right. Well, that's it. That's it for me today. So I hope you all have a fantastic week. I hope that you all are making your appointments for your free consultation and that I get to talk to you soon. Have a great afternoon, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you so much. This is good.
Thank you, Deborah. Bye, everybody.